This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm.
And oh yeah, a little bit of Dino. You know, when you think of Christmas, you think of Bing Crosby and Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra. I don't know if anybody, Andy Williams. They sang songs that go back 50 years ago, and yet we still think they're popular today. Says a lot about what they were doing. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We do not go back 50 years with our show, but sometimes it seems like it. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy and my partner, who's been with me for so many of these years, Big Ed Davis, I don't know why he would want to hang around me, but he does. We thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, December the 22nd. My God, 3 more days. Have you done all your shopping yet, right? If you're like me, you'll be doing shopping today. You'll be doing shopping probably tomorrow. You might even be doing shopping on Christmas Eve. In a few minutes, Elise Westhoff of Philanthropy Roundtable is going to join us. She's going to talk to us about giving to charities without the constraints of the government. In other words, just do it for doing it because you want to do it. How it works so much better that way. So stay tuned for that. And should Joe Manchin, you know that guy? Everybody knows who he is now. West Virginia Democratic senator, should he change his stripes and go from being Democrat to Republican? I think he might. And by the way, will Bette Midler ever do a concert in West Virginia again? That's what I would like to know. Did you hear what she had to say? You didn't, Ed? Oh, wait till you hear it. Wait till you hear it. You're not from West Virginia, Ed, right? You're from New York, aren't you?
I'm from New York, the great state of New York.
It's a great state. It is.
With the great mayor there that is offering $100 cash if you will get a booster shot.
I am going to become a New York citizen because I want to get that $100.
I was going to
call. That is so generous.
I'm going to call the mayor of Clearwater, Frank Hibbert, and see if he'll match that. And then I'll stay.
That sounds great. I would like another $100.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how far $100 would go in New York City?
Well, it would go,
you can't get a shoe shine for $100.
You got to remember who's running for governor after he's done with being, you got to remember that.
So let's give away as much money as we can. I got it. All right. Anyway, Elise Westhoff is going to join us, and I can't wait to talk with her about all of that stuff about charitable giving. We're also going to be getting some thoughts, by the way, on both Joe Manchin and Bette Midler, and I'll tell you about Bette Midler a little bit later, from the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi. He joins us, you know, for 15 minutes of fun and frolic a little bit later in the show. And we awoken Wilbur the Duck and present another edition of Campus Quackery. This time it's going to be coming from Farmington, Michigan. Ed has to go out and back now because we have Wilbur in a little coop.
And you know, most of the lakes are frozen in Michigan, which is tough for them to land on.
It is. It's kind of like, and they go sliding along about a mile and a half.
They're very graceful about it. They know just to put the wheels down.
Yes.
And lock the wheels. Don't try to walk. Just keep going until gravity slows you down.
You ever see one of those montages of all these different ducks landing, slow motion landing, and the way their little pads on their feet. I mean, it's like they're surfing for a while before they actually slow down. And so cool. And we have a great Ultimate Top 10, Ed. And we got to get it done quickly because We're going to do the top 10 oldest living Hollywood actors. I'm afraid one of them will die before we get to this. And I want to make sure they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Top 10 oldest living Hollywood actors coming up for you. Okay, now, what would our day be on this show if we couldn't poke fun at Joe Biden? Joe Biden, every time he shows up, is worth poking fun at. He admitted during his speech yesterday that his vaccine or test mandate for large private businesses is, quote, unpopular. So what? But insisted it's for everyone's good. I like to be chastised by Joe Biden because there is a man that I really think has got it all together.
So you're saying you watched his plan for the Omicron?
Yeah.
See, I didn't. I just watched the one from the Delta.
No, this is
I rewatched the one from the Delta.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said the same thing. Just substitute.
Change the name on the prompter.
Omicron.
That's it.
He said when people are vaccinated or tested, they're much less likely to get sick and less likely to spread it to others. You know, here's the thing. We know, stupid. We know. You don't have to go over this thing and hold a press conference because we also know you're only doing it because you're trying desperately to become more popular than you are right now. You're not telling anybody anything they don't know. You don't have to continue to tell us this. We've made up our minds. We're not that stupid. But you know, he treats everybody like they're 4 years old, doesn't he? When he goes, he talks to you like you're four.
Well, because he talks like a four-year-old.
Well, he does. So, and by the way, I've noticed that there is, each time I see him, he's stumbling a little bit more. I mean, the words are not coming out as clearly.
I mean, look at a normal-aged president. Look how their first day in office and their last, how much they age, mm-hmm. and what it takes mentally.
And that's true.
Mentally, but you can see it physically, too.
It does wear, a normal person out, a younger person out.
I mean,
yeah.
He's been in almost a year. It's not like he's getting any younger, you know?
No, he's not. He's now 79 years old. Can you imagine in 3 years?
No.
How he's going to be talking? I mean it. I just wonder. But Saturday Night Live could have a lot of fun with Biden if they dared cross the line and do it,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, so that's going on with that. In the meantime, I guess other people are noticing he's not doing things quite as well as he should. Another poll, a separate poll released this week, shows Biden's approval rating reaching the lowest point of his presidency. 41% of Americans now say they approve of Joe Biden and the way he's doing things. It's a NPR, PBS NewsHour, Marist College study. And I don't think NPR or PBS or Marist College are what I would call conservative. So you got to figure that if it's a 41%, as Andrew the Master Barber would say, it's probably really closer to 31%. Mm-hmm. But anyway, his support among independents has dropped by 8 points in just 1 week, according to this poll. 8 points. Independents is where they're going to, the Democrats are going to get hammered. That they're the difference makers. So anyway, let us take our break. When we come back, you know, this is the time of giving, isn't it? Christmas time. And you like to give to the charities you like to give to. Are we being constrained by the government in certain ways having to do with our charitable giving? We're going to talk with Elise Westhoff all about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it
good to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Gosh, it's only 3 days before Christmas. Can you believe it? Santa Claus coming down the chimney. There's not that many chimneys here in Florida. How does he get in? I guess you got to leave the door unlocked overnight, Ed. Is that what you do? I mean, how else is he going to give you your gifts?
Well, first he shimmies down the palm tree.
Oh, yeah. Does he? Okay, so now I got it. Yeah. We got a reindeer sled on top of the palm tree.
Runs up the lawn in between the sprinklers.
And he has to get past your doorbell video.
The doorbell video, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes, because you can't leave the presents on the doorsteps.
No, because those will be stolen.
There's a lot of dishonest people around here.
Yeah, there's a term now for porch pirates.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Santa's living a very dangerous life now that I think about it.
These days, he's packing.
Yes. He's going to accidentally shoot one of his reindeer, for God's sake. Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about that. We want to talk about charitable giving, and this is the best time of the year to do it. And we're delighted to have Elise Westhoff join us. She is the president and CEO of Philanthropy Roundtable. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about how America's charitable giving really helps sustain all of these different worthwhile organizations and communities that need this kind of thing. Elise, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely delighted to have you. You were on Fox News recently, and you talked a little bit about a bill called the King-Grassley Bill in the Senate. How does that affect charitable giving?
Well, let me just start by saying, America is truly the most generous country in the world. And, obviously we all know over the last couple of years, we've really faced unprecedented challenges as a country and our whole world, frankly. And, Americans stepped up as we thought they would in really extraordinary ways. And 2020 was a record-breaking year in giving. We had nearly half a trillion dollars in giving to charitable causes, and that was a 5% increase over the year prior. And
wow.
All that happened in the midst of, a lot of economic uncertainty.
Oh, yeah.
And so, it was really inspiring to see the way that people stepped up of their own accord.
Do you think it's do you actually think, at least, that people are more giving because of the virus situation?
I do. I think people, saw that it was, a lot of people are saving for a rainy day, and they saw that it was pouring, and they stepped up. When we had businesses shut down and people unable to work, people felt like they wanted to help those people that couldn't get a paycheck, and they really stepped up and helped. And, it was medical research. It was direct support to people on the ground who had lost their jobs, all sorts of things that people invested in. And they did it in a lot of unique and creative ways. They were giving through things like donor advised funds, through community foundations, which are just really quick and nimble tools that people use to get money out quickly and effectively. And that's what I'm really concerned about with the King-Grassley bill. It's really a solution in search of a problem. And it's targeting these very flexible tools that people use and essentially putting mandates on the timeline for giving and, you know, mandating generosity. And, you know, we know that that doesn't work. People are generous because they're passionate about what they're giving to. They believe in it. To force or coerce giving is just the worst way to spark generosity. And that's what we're worried about with this bill.
I see Grassley's name is attached to it. I normally look at him as the type of person that would agree with what you're saying. Charles Grassley from Iowa. So what does this bill do? Does it stifle free market giving?
Well, it really targets, again, these tools called donor advised funds, which are essentially charitable accounts. They're very flexible. Some critics of it, you know, don't like the fact that people can give of their own timeline, you know, on their own timeline. This bill would actually force donor advised funds to bend down their account and account for every single penny over a certain period of time. So people who, you know, have a donor advised fund, a lot of community foundations use them, and they really want to invest in the long-term health of their community, this would not allow that to happen anymore. It would really put a restriction, a strict timeline on how people could give. I think certain people don't like the fact that this allows donor privacy. You know, people can give anonymously. A lot of people give anonymously for very good reasons. They are afraid of being attacked, you know, and we live in this area of cancel culture, and we see a lot of people coming after people because they're not getting to certain approved causes or they're supporting certain causes that, you know, people don't think they should be giving to. So it doesn't allow for that, like,
right.
And shaming of donors. And, you know, a lot of people have religious reasons why they like to give anonymously. It's central to the Jewish tradition, other religions as well. Some just, you know, don't want to have unsolicited, you know, people coming to them asking for money, you know, so they want to give anonymously for that reason. So there's a lot of good reasons why people want to give privately, and donor advised funds allow for that. And I think that's why they're coming under such scrutiny. But to take that away, especially when they've been such a central tool in the pandemic response, would be, I think, really detrimental to having a strong civil society.
Right. We're talking with Elise Westhoff, President and Chief Executive Officer of Philanthropy Roundtable. And we're talking about how Americans' charitable giving really helps sustain communities. And, you know, Elise, charities, philanthropic foundations, hospitals that are charitable hospitals, et cetera, they are more effective in delivering the product to the people that need it in a much, and you know this, much better than when the federal government gets involved in any way, shape, or form. And I think about all of the things that the federal government has taken over in the saying that we need to help more people. We need to, you know, end poverty or end this or end that. And yet it was being done much more effectively out there on the free market.
That's absolutely right. And that's one of the things that, you know, we're really concerned about when we see efforts to stifle or, you know, restrict the private sector and the charitable sector. We really need those to be strong because they are clearly much more effective. The government isn't meant to address every single need we have. And I think that, you know, the charitable institutions that we have that are so strong in our country are really able to just be nimble and flexible and serve the unique needs of their communities. Government is mired in bureaucracy, it's slow to act, and it just really isn't meant to do all of the things that it's trying to do right now. So, you know, I think we see a lot of talk about Build Back Better, and I think we should be thinking about building stronger communities and, you know, encouraging neighbors to help neighbors rather than those one-size-fits-all, top-down government solutions.
Absolutely right. I noticed that now this is, I believe, your second year as head of the Philanthropy Roundtable. One of the things you defend is the charitable impulse, which is, as you say, often idiosyncratic. You say, I think when you start imposing those musts and shoulds, you really limit human generosity. I think that's exactly right. You know, now, we have an incentive, don't we, at the end of the year. And I must say I take advantage of it. I want to reduce what I have to pay for 2021. So I'm going to give to the Salvation Army and St. Jude's and Disabled American Veterans and a few others, you know, thinking mm-hmm. to myself, oh, good, I'll be able to reduce a little bit of what I owe. So there's an incentive by the federal government. Do you think it's a good idea to have a charitable incentive?
Well, you know, I'm sure you share this. I would love to see the entire system to just be, you know, less incentivizing in many ways, right? Like have a much more simple code. But I think where we are now, we do want to encourage charitable giving. And since we have the system we have to work within it. And so I do think it's right to encourage that, given that's our current circumstance. I think we would all like to see it simplified. But that's not where we are. So if we're going to incentivize something, I think it's great to incentivize people giving to their local communities, giving to causes that they care about. And again, that's unique for every person. So we want to make sure that people have the flexibility to give to the things that they care about. And they're not pressured or shamed to give to only certain causes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about Philanthropy Roundtable, Elise, would you?
Absolutely. We're a community of philanthropists, of donors who are committed to advancing liberty, opportunity, and personal responsibility through effective charitable giving. And we believe deeply that in order to do that well, we have to protect the right of donors to give how, when, and where they choose. All of these mandates and restrictions and things that are just pressure right now are, I think, eventually have the threat of becoming mandates. And we want to make sure that we're keeping our civil society strong and, frankly, diverse, you know, giving to lots of different types of causes and needs and recognizing that each community is unique. So we fight for philanthropic freedom as well.
I think that's terrific. What a noble cause it is. And especially, you know, we think about this kind of thing at Christmas time, end of the year, kind of thing. Finally, do you think people are becoming more generous in our age, you know, this day and age, or less generous than they used to be? Any idea?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of people trying to understand all of the trends in philanthropy and, you know, and generosity. And, you know, there are lots of different ways to interpret the data. Now, the numbers tell you that there is more giving now than there ever has been. But we want to see lots of people engaging in philanthropy, whether they're rich or poor. You know, right now, I think the higher income givers are giving at very high levels. We want to see more people getting engaged. We also have things like GoFundMe happening now, which is just, you know, it's not necessarily counting toward charitable giving because it's not a charity, but I think there are ways that people can help their neighbors without giving a charitable gift. So we want to encourage volunteering. We want to encourage neighbors helping neighbors in big and small ways, and encourage people to give to more traditional philanthropic causes. And I think all are wonderful things. So I do think the American people are generous, as they always have been. And, you know, we should do more to just keep encouraging those numbers to go up and up.
Indeed. Well, thank you so very much, Elise. What a wonderful organization. Delighted to talk with you. Hope we can do it again.
That would be great. Thanks so much for having me, and happy holidays.
And the same. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
All right, Elise Westhoff. You know, I mean, waking up every day thinking about working like that, philanthropy, charitable giving, I think that's nice. You'd have a good warm feeling all the time. All right, we are going to take our break, and when we come back, should Joe Manchin change his stripes from Democrat to Republican? And did you hear what Bette Midler said about West Virginians? Well, we'll talk about that with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Sorese.
Well, way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told. And a real famous cat all dressed up in red, and he spends the whole year working up.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back 3 days before Christmas. Goodness. By the way, you've got to listen every morning. I talk about having a Christmassy feeling. Good Morning Clearwater. 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Two delightful people, Paul and Tracy Allen. Really love their show. And they just have all kinds of news, and they have sports, entertainment, gosh, all kinds of good things. So please, please listen to Good Morning Clearwater, 8 to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Well, Bette Midler. Now, I went to a concert some years back here in Tampa. That Bette Midler held. I sat so far back, and this is true, I had to watch the screen instead of being able to watch her live. She was so distant. I may have told you this before, Ed, when I went to the concert for Bette Midler. I had to watch the TV. They had all these TV screens in the place. And I'm thinking, why do I do this? I could watch on TV and I get a better view of her. But that's the way it goes. Anyway, Bette Midler has come under fire from both conservatives and liberals. You know what she said? This is what she said about Joe Manchin. Quote, he sold us out. He wants us all to be just like his state, West Virginia. Poor, illiterate, and strung out.
I don't see any Bette Midler concerts in West Virginia anytime. Well, let's just go ahead and include Virginia, too.
I think we should. Yeah. You know, how about Kentucky? That's next door also. I mean, the whole Appalachian area has just tuned out on Bette Midler. Why did she say that? Now, she apologized a little bit later. It was a little too late. How do you say I didn't mean it when you said it so clearly, right? Of course, there were people that took off, and some of the responses were pretty good. Do you feel good tweeting this from your mansion in L.A.? This is just a simple reminder of how the elite feel about normal Americans. Remember this when you think about voting blue next time around. Just stop. When was the last time you were here? Exactly. I don't think she's ever been to West Virginia. So we've got the proprietor of the barber pole with us. Andrew, have you ever been to West Virginia? And that's A question. And then B question is, if not, would you ever go?
Well, Paul, I was in West Virginia once, and I had a little bit of fun with a bunch of hillbillies there. They're great people.
Yeah? Are they all hillbillies?
No, they're not all hillbillies.
Okay.
Just a few in the mountains, you know.
Yeah, did they have shotguns and long beards and wear funny soft hats?
You don't want to play with them, buddy. That I could tell you.
Okay.
I could tell you they're very pro-American.
I think West Virginia is pro-American.
Okay. Now, you got to realize it was a has-been that sent out this quote. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Midler's a has-been.
Yeah, she's, can she still sing? Because she's like about 80 years old, isn't she?
Who knows if she could sing? She had two hits in her life. The Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy and the Wind Beneath your Wings or whatever.
Yeah, The Wings Beneath My Clyde. I remember that one. That was a good song.
Her two songs. She's a has-been. Those were in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a has-been. She doesn't even count. What was she opening her mouth for?
I wonder if she likes Donald Trump. I know she doesn't, actually.
No, they all loved Donald Trump until he became president, Paul.
Yeah, that's true.
Be real. He's got pictures with every celebrity around, hugging him, kissing him, grabbing him, everything.
Yeah, that's true. Don't say grabbing him. That will get him in trouble.
He became president. All of a sudden, they didn't like him. There's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
Okay, because they knew he was doing the right thing, and they're all doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. Which brings us... Yep. Which brings us to Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia. Do you think he should switch to becoming a Republican?
Hey, Paul, you know what? If I was him, I'd be an independent.
Okay.
I'd be an independent.
Like Bernie Sanders. Sanders is seriously,
right.
He's an independent.
Yeah, I know that, but see, he won't be an independent like Bernie Sanders.
No.
Bernie Sanders leads left, he leads right.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do. Get them both going crazy.
Yeah, being independent might work because he does vote sometimes with the Democrats. And that would not, he wouldn't be under the, the constraint to vote one way, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, Paul.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, my friend, we've got 3 days before Christmas. First of all, is everybody in your family feeling well these days?
Everybody's fine, Paul. Everybody's
good.
They couldn't be better.
Excellent. Do you have plans to celebrate Christmas, and how are you going to do that? Are you going to...
Well, you know, believe it or not, Thursday night I'm taking my old friend Jim out. You know who he is?
Yes.
I take care of.
The Korean War veteran that you have been taking care of and nursing, yes?
And I'm taking him out to look at Christmas lights Thursday night.
Oh, wonderful.
And then I'm bringing him over to my house for Christmas Day.
Oh, wonderful.
You know? It's a job to get him out, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's a whole day affair for me to get him in and out of the house and everything else.
But, now, this is a veteran of the Korean War that you have been taking care of now for some time. And I mean, when we say taking care of, you go over there early in the morning and you do all of the nursing duties and everything for him, right? And you do the shopping?
Well, when I go there in the morning, I change his diaper, I clean his chair, I feed him, I get his medicine, and I dress him. And
wow.
And I do the same thing every evening.
Angel of Mercy.
And I've been doing it for 19 months.
Wow.
You know what? We all got to give back, Paul. Life has been good to me, so I have to give back.
Good for you. I think that's exactly... You know, there was I don't know if you ever heard of it. It was Maslow's Pyramid of Priorities. And the more we get, the more things that are, you know, we accomplish or are given or the higher we succeed, the more... It is in the human nature to give to other people. That was the very interesting condition of the human being. Yeah.
What I've been doing this year for Christmas, my family does not want for nothing. Mm-hmm. So I told them no gifts this year because they can't buy nothing for me. I can't buy nothing for them, and I would give them cash. Mm-hmm. So what I've been doing is going out here and there. If I go out to eat, I leave a $50 tip. I just went out to breakfast at Peach Diner. My bill was $12. I gave the girl a $50.
Oh, my God. What did
and
she
you
think? You get a kick out of their reaction.
I watch the reactions, and I love it.
I'll bet.
To me, that's the best thing you could do in the world. Because people are hurting out there with Bidenomics. You know that. And they're trying to shut down the earth again.
Yes.
But it's like I told you, I called into the morning show this morning, and we're going to have some problems coming up here. And I'm surprised Joe Biden didn't mention it yesterday in his, whatever you want to call it.
His rambling.
His rambling. But I'm hearing rumors about a Megatron variant coming in.
Megatron?
The Megatron variant is coming in, and it's going to cause a lot of problems, mainly water problems.
Really?
Because the biggest part of the Megatron, the worst symptom you're going to have is diarrhea. Now, can you imagine 150 million people with diarrhea all at one time? What's going to happen?
I would not. I don't like the visual. I'm sorry.
So we got to be careful of this Megatron. Everybody's got to get their booster shot.
Where did you hear about this one?
I cannot reveal.
Oh, you cannot reveal.
I can't reveal my sources.
The old I cannot reveal sources. Okay.
Megatron, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, I love it. The Megatron.
The Megatron, and it's going to be bad.
I mean,
you better supply a toilet paper now.
Could we come up with a more odious description of a new strain of virus than the Megatron? How about the final death, the final death ray, or something like? I mean, that
we could call it the. How about the Demetron? The Demetron virus is coming, and it's going to give you diarrhea very bad.
Ooh.
So.
You remember there was a movie, I think, called The China Syndrome? You remember that? Seriously.
I don't remember it.
No, really. There was a movie. Ed, do you remember a movie? I think Jack Lemmon was in it, called The China Syndrome, and Jane Fonda, where there was a nuclear reactor.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it was called The China Syndrome. I would have thought that would have been a good name for the original virus.
The China Syndrome?
Yes.
No ring to it, Paul. There's no ring.
Okay. I do like the Megatron. There is some ring to that one.
The symptoms are going to be bad. You're going to run out of toilet paper.
Oh, my God.
By the way, I'm worried about the water supply. Everybody flushing at one time could be a big problem.
Yeah. The ground will have an upheaval.
But Joe Biden will take care of it. He'll get up there and give another speech about it's your booster. You got to have the booster, okay? Because without the booster, you're going to die. And the funeral homes can't handle it all. These people are such morons, Paul. It's unbelievable.
I know. I was listening to him, and I
want
to
know. Yeah. I don't know how many people are going to get the flu this year. I don't think anybody. Because the booster protects against the flu. I think it's going to protect against cancer because I haven't heard any deaths from cancer.
True.
I think it's going to protect against heart attack because I haven't heard no deaths from heart attack. The only deaths we've had is so far is COVID.
I heard somebody make a very good point about this latest virus, the Omicron virus. He said, the Omicron virus in the United States has killed as many people as Alec Baldwin.
But you know what, Paul? Now, if people would think logically, which they don't, but if they did, if we were all to get this Omicron variant, got very little symptoms, right?
We have
herd immunity.
I think you're making a good point, actually. If we got it, you're probably better protected by getting, by getting the Omicron, you're better protected against anything that's coming.
That's what he should have done. He should have everybody out of party this weekend. Forget about the booster. We can have herd immunity if we do this properly. Start kissing each other. Get the Omicron.
And you mean that Biden can start groping women again? Now that I think about it, that's why he wants to do that.
I think he forgot how to do that.
Oh, yeah, maybe you're right.
He's forgetting how to do everything.
Yeah. But if indeed you do get the Omicron virus, a lot of people, I think, are getting it, probably don't even know they got it, right? Because it's a mild case, the mildest case, supposedly.
That's what I'm saying. Get the herd immunity. That's the best thing that could happen. Everybody should get it.
Yeah, you may be right about that.
And then guess what? It'd be gone. COVID be gone.
My friend, Andrew, since this will be the last time that I talk with you before Christmas, I would like to ask you, do you have any words of wisdom for people as we enter the Christmas weekend?
Well, my words of wisdom for this week, Paul, would believe in Christ and not Joe Biden and our government.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in his hands and you'll see this country turn around. This is a time for a new beginning for us.
And indeed, the reason for the season, the birth of Jesus, We don't talk right. about that very much. How many times have you heard anybody talk about that, you know?
No, I hear a few people, Paul.
Good.
I hear a few.
Well, then you're in with good people if you do.
Paul, I told you, I don't associate with bad people.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very few. I mean, I have one liberal friend and I haven't talked to him in 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
The liberals are bad people? Some are good.
I'm looking.
Okay.
I'm looking.
Okay. Well, Andrew, you're a special angel for all of the good things that you do, and I want to wish you the merriest of Christmases. And we'll be talking again, God willing, if you're available on Monday.
You've got it, my friend. You people have a Merry Christmas.
We will. Thank you.
All right. Be good.
All right. There he goes, the master barber himself. And he is a very good soul. Let me tell you, he donated generously to the Toys for Tots program. Doesn't talk about it, but I can tell you that he did. You know, the Good Morning Clearwater program. By the way, very successful. And he's just a generous guy. All right, let us take our final break. When we come back, among other things, we dust off Wilbur the Duck, present another edition of Campus Quackery, this time coming from Farmington, Michigan.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. Well, I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And I want to remind you that we are here, God willing, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network, although this Friday we will be taking off for Christmas. But normally we are here. But if you're not able to listen to us live, you got things to do, especially this week, you can always go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, because Big Ed, bless his soul, puts all of our shows on podcast. So go to ourfreedomworks.com, click on the podcast button, find the show you want to hear. You'll know who the guest is and the top 10, the whole bit before you click on it. And away you go, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, let's go up to Michigan. Probably a good place to be to celebrate the experience of Christmas. A public school system, though, in Michigan, spent 21 days teaching adults in the district how to be good, quote, equity allies. Always be a little bit worried when you hear that. Be good equity allies? I don't know about that. Capped with a direct call for them to join a Black Lives Matter political protest. I mean, come on. As they would say, you know, ESPN, come on, man. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to start bringing that kind of a thing up? Farmington Public Schools in Michigan released a 21-day equity challenge for interested parties in the district. It says, our mission statement, will engage every student in a quality experience, empowering each student to become a thoughtful, contributing citizen in a changing world. On the final day of the challenge, their calendar offered a personal action plan for students to track their progress. Directives given on the sheet include suggestions like donate to causes that support the Black LGBTQ plus community, join a Black Lives Matter or an affiliated protest, and donate to bail efforts supporting people arrested for protesting against injustice. It's just crazy, is it not? Thank you, Wilbur. Wilbur was a little bit slow on the uptake, but he understands how stupid this is. So, I don't know. What are they going to, you know, I wonder if the parents are going to kind of revolt on this one, too. The calendar, this 21-day calendar, which was first flagged by Young America's Foundation, it's a conservative group, was not assigned to students, and participation was not required, it says here, by the district. It says here, these activities are completely optional, and you may participate in as many or as few of the activities as you would like. Well, why even do that? You know? Why start doing that kind of nonsense? You don't have that. That's not your job. Your job is to educate the kids so they can read and write. My goodness. All right. So much for that. Ed, before we get to our top 10, by the way, we have a very good one, and we've got the top 10 oldest Hollywood actors. I want to see if you know any of them. They've been around for a long,
pretty good idea time. Who's...
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would just say maybe the top three, maybe two.
I wonder if you think they're still alive.
Or at least two in the top three.
I wonder if you think they're still alive and they're really dead, though. Are you sure they're still alive, the three you're thinking
yes,
of?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. Hmm. All right. Before we do that... first of all, I watched a very exciting hockey game. I don't know if you had a chance to last night, but I watched a part of it. It was out in Las Vegas. Mm. And the Lightning were down, I think, 3-1. They came back and they won the game 4-3. So they're doing very good.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they can go, and they have a shot now at a third straight Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and actually this pause in the season that the NHL is going to take, which will be a few days, they're going to rejoin their schedules after Christmas. Monday, I believe it will be. Either Sunday or Monday, they'll start the season again. But they have voted not to send the NHL players to the Olympics.
Right.
This year. So normally there would be about a 2 to 3 week break there. They're going to use that break time to play the games that they didn't play yesterday to today and on through the rest of the week.
Oh, that makes sense.
So they'll use that. But the bottom line is it will give the Lightning extra time for some of their injured players to get healthy.
That's true, too.
So
I wonder if Kucherov will be back at all before the playoffs.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
Boy, will that help.
But, well, I mean, he didn't come back until the playoffs last year, so if that worked last year, well, let's do it again.
Yeah, maybe, you know, exactly
nice
right.
Nice and fresh for the
also, playoffs. The Buccaneers, are we still mourning them? And when is their next game?
No, they're 10-4. You know, they're going to go to Carolina. There's no absolute win in the NFL or, you know, sure thing. But they should take care of business there. If they don't, they got problems.
Is there a game before Sunday? Do they have a game like
that? No.
It'll be on Sunday, huh?
No.
Okay. All right. Here we go. These are the top 10 oldest living Hollywood actors that we know of. I found it on Wikipedia, Ed. I go to Wikipedia, I must say, for a lot. I think it's a good place to go. So without further ado, here we go. Number 10. Irene Pappas. She's 95 years old. She was born in 1926. And she's been around a long time, obviously, and she's done a lot of stuff. All right, number 9. I know you don't know these people, and I only know them, believe me, seriously, from watching them on TV, but Carlton Carpenter, he was Debbie Reynolds' age, because they did a movie together one time where they sang the stupid monkey song, Yabba Dabba Dabba. Anyway, he is 95 years old also, a little bit older, though, than Irene Pappas, born in 1926. Number 8. You know Angela Lansbury?
Yes.
96 years old. She's still going strong.
She did Murder, She Wrote, yeah, right?
She did indeed. Number seven.
I didn't know she was born.
Number seven is June Lockhart. Do you know who June Lockhart is?
Yes.
Yeah, you do, huh? June Lockhart was the mother of the boy on Lassie, Jeff on Lassie, yeah, or Timmy on Lassie. She's 96. She was born in 1925. Wow. Her father, I watch these old movies on TV, Gene Lockhart was a huge star. Number six. How about Eva Marie Saint? Do you know her?
No.
Oh, wow. I thought you would know her. She's 97 years old. She was in the movie On the Waterfront with Marlon Brando, and then she was on North by Northwest, the movie, Hitchcock movie. Okay. Number five, Glynis Johns. Do you remember Mary Poppins, the movie Mary Poppins?
Sure.
Glynis Johns was the mother in that movie. She's now 98 years old. She was born in 1923. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number four, Janice Page. I thought she just died.
Scratch her off.
I may have to scratch Janice Page off. I think she passed away. She was 99 years old. Yeah, I think she died. Not during the reading of this. I think she died.
Oh, okay.
You know, you get this thing, but usually Wikipedia is up to date. Okay. Number three. Margia, I guess, M-A-R-G-I-A, Margia Dean. I don't know her. She's 99 years old. 99, born in 1922. Wow. Number two, Karen Marsh Dahl. Another one I don't know. She's 102.
Wow.
She was born in 1919. Wow.
She's 102.
She's 102.
We're missing somebody.
Okay. So let me ask you, who are we missing before?
Betty White's going to turn 100 next week or next month.
You're right. Why don't they have Betty White on here?
That's it. I want my money back.
Well, she's not a Hollywood actress.
Huh?
That's why.
She's not? What do you mean she's not a Hollywood actress?
She didn't appear in movies. I think she should be on the list. I agree with you.
She didn't? I saw The Proposal with...
Yeah, you're right. But she was
in movies.
She was not known as a Hollywood movie woman. I think that... I agree with you. She did appear in a couple of those things. She's mostly TV. She's a product of
the when you're 99 and 9/8,
I think
you get to squeak in there.
Okay, you're right. You're right. But I got somebody that's even older. I'll give you one hint. It's a woman.
Well, that narrows it down.
They're all women, aren't they, pretty much? Every one of the, no, there was one. There was one man in the list here. You don't know her. I wouldn't have known. Her name is Marcia Hunt. You ever heard of Marcia Hunt? She's 104.
Wow.
I got to look her up on Wikipedia and see what she's done. She was born in 1917. My God, World War I was still going on in 1917.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
We want to wish everybody from Freedom Works a very Merry Christmas. We will not be here doing our show on Friday. We will be back on Monday. Please remember the reason for the season, and also remember that Freedom Works...
Oh, Christmas, there is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own.